So today is the last in our series, as Johnny said right at the beginning, Questions Jesus Asks. And right, here's a little test. We're going to have 1 minute on this and that's all because of time. First of all, how many sermons were there in the series? Apart from Johnny. Six, eight, ten, nine is the answer. So well done to no one who got that. Right, here's another opportunity. Right, see how many you can guess. Not guess, of course. You remember them perfectly, I know this. How many of the sermons can you remember the title? This is a group thing, right? So we're shamed together. It's not individual. When I wrote them down, because obviously I've cheated, right? But see how you get on. Go on, shout them out. What can you remember? Yeah, what was that again? Why are you afraid? Yeah, good. Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus? Yes. Good. Yes, that's right. That's the big title, Simo. Well done. All right, you've done all right there. Right, listen. When I started writing them down, I thought, oh, didn't realise that was there. Oh, that was me who preached that one. But anyway, let's get on with the task ahead. We're into, if you've got a Bible, turn to John chapter 21. It will come up behind me. And of course, the series is Questions Jesus Asks. And today the title is, Do You Love Me? That's the question Jesus asked Peter. And let me read out the verses from in chapter 21, verses 15 to 22. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So, if you've been a Christian more than an hour, you probably know this story. You might even know the story if you're not a Christian in the room today. And as I said, it's the final part of our series, and it's really important. You know, Jesus asked this question three times of Peter. And Peter is a great character in the Bible. He's great to speak about. He's quick-tempered. I don't want you to tick off which ones you are like Peter, right? But anyway, here we go. He's quick-tempered. He's reactive. He's clearly a leader sort of guy, the alpha male type of person. If there's a bit of controversy around the disciples, he's normally somewhere near the front of that. And he's often just close to the action. Peter is the guy who cut off the soldier's ear when they came to arrest Jesus. Peter was a person who overestimated himself a lot and underestimated temptation considerably. And Peter also overestimated his commitment. And in John chapter 13, Jesus predicts his betrayal by Judas and that he will only be around a little bit longer. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. The disciples, well, at least Peter, didn't really understand what Jesus was talking about. And Peter said this in chapter 13, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Peter declares, he's making this declaration, if the others fall back, I'm your man. I'm going to stick with you, Jesus. I will lay down my life for you. And then Jesus predicts the denial of Jesus. You know, Jesus predicts to Peter, he's going to deny Jesus three times. Verse 38, very familiar verse in chapter 13, says this: "Will you really lay down your life for me?" This is Jesus speaking. "Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And a bit later on in chapter 18, Peter is making the right sort of moves. Jesus gets arrested and the time is drawing closer to his death. And Peter was following Jesus. He's wanting to get it right. He's following on. He says he's not going to deny him. He's going to stand by Jesus when the rubber hits the road. But as Jesus predicted earlier, Peter denies Jesus. He knows Jesus three times. Maybe after the first denial, it would have been a little reminder to Peter, "Oh, Jesus did mention this. Maybe I should back off." But he hung in there for failure number two and failure number three. Maybe he thought, "Come on, I can do this. Toughen up. Come on, inner strength. I'm able to do this." And in Luke's account, it says of this of Peter: "After the third denial, he went outside and wept bitterly." I think this helps us grasp the depth of feeling, the anguish that Peter would have encountered at that point as he's let Jesus down. Peter was hurting desperately, and until it's put right, the shame and the pain continue. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, when things are not right. Until it is put right, the anguish at whatever level continues. There might be decisions or actions that you've taken that have caused you pain and regret. Things that you live with that cause emotional turmoil. And I think the way Jesus deals with Peter can really help us. Peter needed restoration. And maybe today you too need restoration. The truth is, Peter has failed spectacularly. Even though Jesus had already appeared to Peter and the rest of the disciples twice already after his resurrection, something was still not quite right. Peter needed restoration. Peter would have known and experienced deep shame. He would have been hurting inside. And we've all failed, right? We've all messed up in small ways and in spectacular ways. I don't know if you have, I'm sure you have. And ways of the big ways, the small ways, and in the kind of ways where I'm just denying Jesus. Well, in my case, in a small way, you know, you've got your Alpha card, and Johnny said I would mention it from time to time. And you'll see on the front there, it says gracechurchtogether.org.uk/alpha. And the previous church I was at, I thought, right, I need to get on with some administration, not my strong point. As Johnny's smiling as he sits next to me in the office, working out what am I doing with my time. But anyway, I thought, I need to get on top of this. So I ordered 5,000 of these. We was going to have a big campaign. And so I filled out all the stuff. And where it says Grace Church Together, which is where you put in on the computer, you type in your URL. Is that what it's called, Johnny? Yeah, the URL. And I thought, oh, it's already there. URL:// HTTP. Thought, it's done for me. Sent it off. 5,000 of these arrived very soon after. Instead of saying Grace Church, it wasn't Grace Church, it said URL:// There's a little mistake, you know, like we all make them, right? And then in bigger ways, you know, we can laugh about that. The finance person wasn't so much amused by that. But anyway, we got over that. But we can let ourselves down and let people down in a big way. You know, our family, our church family, and it makes us, it hurts. And we can do it in other ways of denying Jesus. And I remember one time when I was under significant pressure, where I went to JFK, I was there, and they thought I was a drug dealer of some sort. That was what was going through my head, right? And I don't look like one, I don't think. But anyway, that was in my head. And I was thinking, I just want to get out of here. I'll do anything. I'll deny everything. I was willing to lie to whatever it took. I mean, I didn't have anything to lie about. And, you know, but afterwards, I thought, I really denied Jesus in that moment. I didn't say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus, or I didn't know Jesus. But there was something in me that thought, oh, I've got to get out of this, whatever the cost. And that really was what Peter did. So we all mess up. And Peter was nearly 2 weeks into his shame. And Jesus was about to restore Peter through the question, do you love me? And remember, the love of God is perfect. It has no questionable motives. The depth, the width, the height of God's love is immeasurable. And have you ever asked that type of question, but with a view of incurring a little bit of guilt? Maybe to your kids, do you really care about me? Do you really love me? Or to your wife or your husband? I'm saying this because I know I've done it from time to time. I said, do you really care? Why did that happen then? You know, like incur a little bit of guilt. But the love of God is perfect in all his ways. God is not, and I often think about this and I often say this, God is not the best version of the best person you know. He is God and he is perfect in all his ways. How delightful and beautiful it was this morning to worship Jesus and know him as Lord of our lives. Peter, he says to the other guys, a few of the other guys, I'm going fishing. And they join him. And it's a bit like he's saying, look, I'm done with this. I'm going back to what I know. And this is after two appearances of the resurrected Jesus. This is what I know. This is what I can do with a little bit of success. Peter really was a broken man. He had failed Jesus, and that shame would have been deep. And shame is a terrible emotion. I guess we've all felt it from time to time in different levels. Shame leads us to bad decisions. Peter went back fishing. Shame locks us up. We think things like, if only you knew how bad I was. Shame tells us we're disqualified. Peter gone back to fishing. I don't have to think anymore. He can go back to what he knows. And shame can cause us to punish ourselves and ultimately tell ourselves, I'm not lovable, or at least I can't love myself. And here's a question for you. Who is the preacher you listen to the most? John Piper? Terry Virgo? Johnny Holder? I'd say it's probably yourself. We all have that inner voice, don't we? Telling us stuff. And is that inner self, that inner voice, is it your greatest critic in a very negative way, or your cheerleader? Listen to the things Jesus says about you. And Jesus' motivation is to restore Peter. They go for a wonder. Can you just picture Jesus' face as he speaks to Peter? He's looking to restore him. That's what this is about. Full of love, full of compassion. Jesus called Peter, come follow me. 3 years before that. And he left everything to follow Jesus. 3 years, all in. And now, he would have thought, I'm a failure. I've messed it all up. Peter had committed everything to this, and he needed restoring. And you know, it's quite hard, isn't it? We live in a culture, we live in a world that's pretty harsh. When you mess up in this world, you're nailed for it, and often there's no way back. Cancel culture and all that sort of stuff. That's the world we live in. That's the sort of environment we're getting fed. But the heart of God is a God of restoration. Think about your salvation. He's restored us to himself. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than these? I think Jesus is referring, or perhaps he's referring to the boat, to the fish, to his previous world. And Jesus knows that love is the greatest motivation. What we love will come through, whether it's family, whether it's our hobbies, whether it's football. I mean, even Simo this morning tried to cover it, but I can still see it's a Liverpool shirt you're wearing there. It comes through, and that's okay. People, in an earthly sense, do amazing things because of love. They do crazy things because of love, make wild decisions, make great decisions, lay down their lives because of love. It's so important. Peter, do you love me more than the world? Was perhaps Jesus' question. Yes, Lord, you know that I do. And I'm glad, like Peter says here, yes, Lord, you know that I do. And I'm really glad that God knows my thoughts. Of course, there is quite a few that are not great. But he does know, actually, I do love you, God. I do love you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I trust you with my life. And it's not maybe what it should be, but it's real. And he knows me and he loves me for it. Of course Jesus knows. And Jesus is drawing out of Peter what is of great importance. Confessing his love for Jesus, verbalizing it to Jesus, enabling Peter to know the love he has is acceptable and is totally received by Jesus. I just feel like there's, you know, I'm reading into this a bit, but that impression that Jesus is looking him in the eye, drawing out that love. Come on, Peter, I'm going to restore you. Does Peter need a program? Does he need a course to sort this out? No, he needs to know that he's still loved by God. He needs to know he's still in God's plans. And to answer this question, do you love me? You will follow what you love. And to follow Jesus is all about love. Does the love of Christ reign in your heart? Does the love of Christ control you? We're ambassadors of Christ. We represent him. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. There's a lot at stake. We have the joy and responsibility of pointing people to Jesus. And when we're motivated by our love for him, it causes us to invite someone to our Alpha. It causes us to deny ourselves and take up our cross. It leads us to a place of losing our life that we might gain it. And of course, we're all on a journey, right? We know we mess up, but that's where God is taking us. Peter, through the same question three times, knew he was restored. It was painful for him, but the response from Jesus was all about saying, "You're not finished." What a thing to be said over our lives. God's not finished with you. Put away your nets, Peter. You don't need that boat. That's done with. You're in the plans of God. And the plans that God had for Peter was to turn the world upside down. And that happened. The key is your love for me. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Jesus loved the disciples. Jesus loves you and me. It's his initiative. We've not got to stir this up. He loves us. That leads us to a place of, yeah, Jesus, of course I love you. Peter could say, you know I love you. And having been restored, his calling is revived. With that kind, which is really important, you know, he's been restored. And it's not just that. It's not just ended there. Jesus is restoring him and now he's reviving his calling. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is the calling for Peter. He's not written off. God knows all of Peter's mistakes, and there were numerous. He knows all of your mistakes. He knows all of my mistakes. And he doesn't write you off either, and he doesn't write me off. Peter, look after the lambs, he says, the weak, the young, the vulnerable. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And it's a big job, right? This is a massive calling over his life. But all that God calls you and I to do is not that different, really. To love others, to love your enemies. Again, it's a big job. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? And we can easily think, well, it's Peter, isn't it? But it's true for you and me also. That's the call of God in our lives. And you can't do this without loving Jesus. It runs dry really quickly. If we're not in love with Jesus, serving the teas and coffees, working on the kids' work, doing the welcoming, whatever it might be, caring for one another, loving the lost, it's really difficult if there's not the love of God in our hearts. It runs dry and we can get a little bit fed up with it. We need to know the love of God. Every person you care for and look out for is a child of God. Significant, right? Jesus said, tend my sheep to Peter, feed my lambs. And he said, my sheep, my lambs, they belong to Jesus. They don't belong to Peter. In the same way, they don't belong to us. They belong to God. The care that we offer is we're offering the care to people who belong to God. We're his under shepherds. We're his stewards. We're the ones who are, we're Jesus' hands and feet on this earth. And what an awesome, powerful responsibility. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, verse 18. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a contrast, eh? Peter probably thought, it's impossible. I've denied you 3 times. I'm a loser. I've lost it. He'd blown it. But Jesus reinstates Peter. Now, we're not Peter. We all know that. But we have a part to play. Jesus restores Peter and revives his calling. The church is God's plan for me and for you. It's God's plan to reach the world. The church is not perfect, and you know why, right? Because you're in it and I'm in it. It's not going to be perfect. But it's God's plan all the same. It's the place to know God, to be known by God, to express our love for God, to be known by the people of God, to express our worship. You know, I could go on and on about the church. It's so remarkable. It's God's plan A and plan A only. But I really want to emphasize, whoever you are, whatever you do in the life of Grace Church, you are so needed. You have a part to play, and it's significant, and it runs into eternity, whatever that is. Peter is fully restored in his relationship with Jesus. The shame and the guilt have gone. His failure has been dealt with, and Jesus has revived the call of God on his life. He has not been written off, and you're not written off, whatever's gone on. And yet Peter still has work on his heart to be done. Jesus' motivation, I keep doing that, I keep going page 4 back to page 3. Anyway, Peter needed to relinquish control. I'm going to read the verses again. Now, you've heard them a few times, but I'm going to read them one more time. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die and the course of his life in the future. Peter is being informed he's going to go where he doesn't want to go. That could well mean being led to prison. He was in prison. He was told how he was going to die. Stretch out your hands, informing him that he's going to die by crucifixion. It was said, and this is not a definite 100% guarantee, but it said Peter didn't want to be crucified up straight. He wanted to be like upside down because he wasn't worthy of the same death of Jesus. That's how much he wanted to follow Jesus. Peter, having heard all this, said to Jesus, what about him? John, beloved of Jesus, was close by. And I sort of understand the question, right? John's the favourite. He's the blue-eyed boy, you could think. The one who seems to do always a bit better than Peter. Have you ever looked at other Christians and thought, ah, it's okay for them or for her? They never get sick. They're well off. They don't have the life I live. It's so easy to compare our lives. And you know, you probably know this, it's crippling. But it's important to recognize all roads are not equal. You look around this gathering of people, God has called us to different things. And Peter had to relinquish his plans or the idea of someone else having a better call or route. We're called to run our race. Jesus is saying to Peter, follow my plan for you, not my plan for him. God has grace for you, for your race, not mine. And I have the grace of God for the race he's called me to and not the race you've got. We need to trust him for what God has called us to do. Sometimes, and maybe right now, but maybe in the future, life can throw up significant challenges around health or finances. And if it's not sin-induced, you can know that God will be glorified in your life. I used to think, and still do sometimes, I want to go out with a big fanfare, you know, do something really amazing for God so that everyone knows. I'm not sure that's a particularly godly thought, to be honest, but I've had it from time to time. But if I was to die in what appeared to be a sad and lonely exit from this world, but was loving Jesus, that will bring glory to God. Do you remember your baptism, if you've been baptized? I'm dying to my old way of life. Jesus, you're not only my Savior, but you're my Lord. Your will be done in my life. I'm relinquishing control to you, Jesus, because I can trust you, and you know best. We can take up our cross because Jesus went to the cross. We can lay down our life because Jesus laid down his life. And we can love the last, the lost, and the least because he first loved us. Matthew 10:39 says, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We can give control of our lives to Jesus because he's faithful and trustworthy and he loves us. His way is the best way. It's so much more, so much bigger than a happy long life. We can follow Jesus because he's worthy of being followed. Peter heard the call at the outset, "Come follow me." And it's the same at the end of his story, "Follow me." Peter fulfilled the promise Jesus gave him. "I will build my church on you, Peter." I can get the band up. I know it's quite late, but I'd love us to respond. Jesus is always worth responding to, isn't he? We can follow Jesus because he will give us all what we need in every moment. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. So how can we respond this morning? Jesus asked the question of you and me. And he asks it all the time, actually, but specifically this morning, do you love me? And we're going to come and worship for a short while. And if you're not sure, or if that love for God has drifted or become dull, well, let's stand and worship him and renew that love and say, "God, I'm struggling with this. I need to know and experience your love. Come again, come afresh." If you feel shame today, you can know this, that Jesus can restore you and you can know freedom. It's sung in a couple of our songs and I think Kim mentioned it as well. We can know when we put our trust in him, full restoration. And that can happen today and it can happen as a journey. And if you feel like you've missed the purposes of God for your life, well, it's not too late. It's still time. We can start again today. And maybe you've never answered the call to follow Jesus. Well, today you can say, "Jesus, I want to follow you." You can walk out of this room saying, "Yes, I love you, Jesus, because of what he's done for you." And the rest of us, I'm including everyone. There's no one missed out on this, right? We can affirm our worship. "Jesus, you know that I love you. And I want nothing more to sing of who you are, what you've done. You're Lord of my life. You're not only my Savior, but you're my Lord. And I can trust you with my whole being." So let's stand. Let's worship Jesus. He's worthy of our adoration.